Left off in the beginning of December, going through the life of the Apostle Paul. So I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles, and if you need the Pew Bible page numbers at the top of your handout, just grab that, and go to the book of Acts, chapter 18. Would you all turn there with me? Acts chapter 18. And if you need a handout, lift up your hand high, and our ushers will be glad to bring you one right now. Okay, over here I see some hands. Anywhere else? All right, balcony. Overflow rooms, great. All right. I want you to go straight to your handout. Will you do that for me? Go straight to your handout and look at it. And I want you to get this statement at the top of your handout. You ready? Here we go. Living things grow. Say that with me. Living things grow. Living things grow. Hey, I'll bring up a picture. If you cut a branch off from a tree, what happens to the branch? It dies. It quits growing. You bring up a picture here. What happens if I just lost everybody, I think. What happens if you quit feeding the puppy? What happens? Quits growing and it dies. Let's go to the next one. What if you take a flower and you cut it off from its bush? What happens to the flower? It quits growing. Say it with me, living things grow. If you know the Lord today as your Savior, do you have life? Yes, you are connected to an incredible, life-giving source, the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're saved today and you know the Lord, your spirit pulsates with divine resurrection life, the life of your Savior. Now in your handout it says, God's plan therefore is for the believer to grow and change. God's plan is for the believer to grow and, say it with me, change. I want you to look in your handout, 2 Corinthians 5:17, and everybody say this together. Ready? Let's read it. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. No matter how long you've been saved and known the Lord, no matter how much you know up here of the Bible, we must keep growing spiritually in our walk with Jesus Christ. Because if we don't, then we will shrivel up on the vine. You know, some people get the mistaken notion, I'm not going to go to church. Why not? Well, because I got problems in my life. And if I go to church, I'm going to feel like a hypocrite. And I'm struggling with some things in my life. And so I'm not going to go to church because I'm struggling with these issues in my life. Let me please, please, please straighten out your thinking if that's how you've at all thought in the past or think that way today. The church is not for perfect people. It is for struggling people with problems. There's not a one of us in here that doesn't struggle with something. Amen? We are all a work in progress. And we all have got major work that needs to be done in our lives. The church is not for perfect people. Man, if it was, buddy, we'd empty the building this morning, wouldn't we? Including the platform. We would empty this place. The church is not for, it's for struggling people. Now, you know, the church is for people who say, you know what, man, I got some issues. I got some baggage I'm carrying. I got some problems I'm dealing with. I got some issues, but you know what? I know I need to be in church because I need to know what God says. And you know what? While I've got problems, I want to learn. I want to grow. I want God to change me, and I want to get victory. So you know what? Church is the place I need to be. That's the attitude. You know, nobody's in here saying they're perfect today. We're all sinners that have been saved by the grace of God who now have the life of God inside of us, and we want to grow. We want to change. There's a man in our text, verses 24 through 28, we're going to focus on this morning. And this man's name was Apollos. And you read about this guy, and you know what you find out? Listen, he was intelligent, he was gifted, he was eloquent, and he had a very, very good grasp of God's Word. But above all those wonderful attributes, he had a humble spirit which allowed him to manifest the key to growing and changing. You say, Pastor Dan, what is the key to growing and changing? Let me give it to you. Here it is. The key to growing and changing is that you have to have a teachable spirit. Proverbs 9 in your handout. Look at it with me. It says there, reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. But if you rebuke a wise man, he will what? He'll love you. Give instruction to a wise man. He doesn't resent it. No, he takes the instruction and he'll be yet what? Wiser. If you teach a just man, he doesn't say, I'm already just. I don't need what you have to say. I'm already just. No, you teach a just man and he will increase or grow in what? Learning. This is so incredibly important as we face the new year. Without a teachable spirit, we get locked into a certain growth point and we never go past it. Now, I don't know where you're at with God this morning. We're all at different places and different points, and I don't know where you are with God, but I do know this. God wants to take you deeper and further than you are right now. He wants you to look at January, whatever the first Sunday of January 2014 is, and he wants you to look back, and he wants you to say, man, I'm not the same guy. I'm not the same gal I was a year ago. Boy, God's really done some things in my life. Still not perfect. Still got issues. Still got problems. Still got things I'm trying to deal with and overcome. But man, I am not the person that I was a year ago. Now look, folks, this is so important. God wants to teach you new lessons every day. He wants to take you deeper in your walk with Him, your relationship with Him. He wants to refine you. He wants to take you to new heights spiritually that you've never been to before. Therefore, every believer must possess a teachable spirit if we're going to get there. We got to have a teachable spirit. Why is this so crucial? Well, I want to look in our text at a man that we're introduced to by the name of Apollos. Let's look at it. Everybody look at verse 24. Can I have a little bit more in the A's on my mic, please? It says, and a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man. Look at this now. Look how the Bible describes him. An eloquent man and mighty in the Scriptures came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. And when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who when he was come, helped them much which had believed through grace. For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the Scriptures that Jesus was Christ. What a teachable spirit. Aquila and Priscilla, a married couple, take this guy who's eloquent and mighty in the Scriptures. They expound unto him the way of God more perfectly. And boy, I mean, he just goes on to do some incredible things for God. A teachable spirit is critical to our spiritual growth. Let me give you three reasons why. Number one is this. If we're going to grow in 2013, here it is. Number one, because no individual believer knows all spiritual truth. No individual believer knows all spiritual truth. All God's people said? Amen. It's a little reference to the choir there, all right? So what do we know about this man Apollos? He shows up here. This guy's going to end up being a leader, but what do we know about him when he shows up? Well, all we really know is he was a Jew. He was born in Alexandria, Egypt. We know he was a man of faith. We know that he traveled to Ephesus where Paul had just been. And remember, Paul was at Ephesus, but he left to go do the feast stuff over in Jerusalem. And they just missed each other. Paul and Apollos just missed each other. Paul left, Apollos shows up in Ephesus. We also know this. We know that Apollos was extremely intelligent, especially in spiritual matters. We see this fact demonstrated through several phrases here in the Bible. Look at it with me, verse 24. It says, a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria. Notice it says, an eloquent man, but then it says, he was mighty in the Scriptures. Mighty in the Scriptures. So we know that this guy was pretty intelligent when it came to spiritual matters. Mighty in the Scriptures. We know what that means, right? He knew his stuff. He knew his stuff. If somebody says, I'm mighty in U.S. history, well, they know their stuff when it comes to U.S. history. If somebody says, I am mighty in chemistry, we know what that means. If somebody says, I'm mighty in sports knowledge, you know, then we know what that means. That means they know their stuff when it comes to sports. This guy was mighty in the Scriptures, in the Word of God, in the Bible. Not only that, look at verse 25. It says, this man was instructed in the way of the Lord. And being fervent in the Spirit, notice it says, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord. So this guy has an incredible amount of knowledge concerning God's truth. He's mighty in the Scriptures. But as we read on, you know what we find out? We find out that while he was very gifted and while he was very knowledgeable, his knowledge was incomplete. If you look at the end of verse 25, it says, knowing only the baptism of John. His knowledge was incomplete. It wasn't that he was a bad guy. It wasn't that he was stupid. It was simply that his knowledge was incomplete. This is a reference when it says he knows only the baptism of John. That's a reference to John the Baptist, who was a forerunner of Jesus Christ. John the Baptist came to the nation of Israel, God's people, and he came preaching to them to repent. Repent of their worldliness, repent of their wickedness, repent of how they had forsaken God and forsaken His law, repent of their hypocrisy. John the Baptist came preaching that they needed to repent because their Messiah was at hand. And the kingdom that God had promised them long ago is now at hand if they will repent. And so if a person in Israel repented of their sins and they believed John's message, then they would submit to John. And they would go down to the riverside, and there John would baptize them because that identified them with the believing flock of Israel, that they believed John's message that a Messiah was soon to come and that the kingdom was at hand. That's as far as Apollos' knowledge had gotten. He knew only the baptism of John. Now look up here. I want you to picture this is the beginning of time. Picture this timeline going all the way over here out into eternity future. So we've got back here the beginning and then eternity future. Picture this as a timeline in between. This guy Apollos, he knew all about the Old Testament that God had with Israel. He knew all about that Old Testament. He knew all about the prophets that spoke after the law was given and that called Israel to repentance. He knew all about the prophets in the Old Testament. You move forward. John the Baptist comes after 400 years of silence. John the Baptist, a prophet, comes. He preaches to Israel to repent because the Messiah and the kingdom are at hand. Now, after that, we know Christ came, lived 33 years, died on a cross, was resurrected from the dead, ascended up on high into the heavenlies. Then we know in Acts 9, God saved the Apostle Paul and began to reveal to Paul all the wonderful truths about the cross work and what was accomplished could be saved from that. God began to reveal to Paul the gospel of Christ in this time of grace that we live in today. And then after that, of course, we know that the end times come and all that. Now, look up here. Apollos' knowledge stopped about right here. All that happened after that, he didn't know about. So he had great knowledge of the Old Testament, great knowledge of the prophets, great knowledge of the prophetic program, great knowledge of John the Baptist's message, but he knew only the baptism of John. With the finished work of Christ on the cross and the revelation of the gospel of Christ to Paul, salvation's now being offered to every person in the world, Jew or Gentile, on an absolutely equal basis through the finished work of Jesus Christ. The gift of eternal life here in Acts 18 is now being offered to every single person, not through John's baptism. They're not offering eternal life through John's baptism. They're offering eternal life through faith alone in Jesus Christ. All that was new to Apollos. He hadn't gotten that far yet. It'd be kind of like if I said to you, Babe Ruth is the all-time home run champion of baseball. Is there a time when that statement would have been correct? Yes. 1970, that would have been correct. By 1980, that wouldn't have been correct anymore. Because there was new information, there was new facts, there was new history that had been made. Hank Aaron was the home run champion. And then many, many years later, that wouldn't be true. Rather, Barry Bonds became the home run champion. And that's what we've got going on here. Look up here. The doctrine of John's baptism, that was biblical. Absolutely, it was biblical, but it was not correct doctrine for the new dispensation that had been revealed. And here's my point. This is the main thing I want you to get. Okay? If some of that went over your head, just here's the point. Apollos, this guy Apollos, had a great knowledge, but his knowledge was limited. You see, God, no individual believer knows all spiritual truth. The Bible is a book of progressive revelation. God progressively reveals more and more pieces of the puzzle. That's why it must be rightly divided. We talk about that all the time, how we have to rightly divide the Bible, and we're committed to doing that at Crossroads. Rightly dividing the Bible in light of what God's doing today. Through and the information that God gave us through the Apostle Paul, the Apostle of the Gentiles, we've got to interpret the Bible in light of the direct mail, the direct information God's given us through the Apostle Paul. And it's very important. For example, if I came in here next Sunday and I stood up and I said to you, every one of you in this building, you need to go out this week, you need to get you a lamb, you need to bring it back here next week, and you need to sacrifice that lamb, and you need to take that blood, and it needs to be offered on an altar, and that will give you temporary forgiveness of your sins until we do the same thing again next year, and the next year, and the next year. Let me ask you something. If I said that to you, is that biblical? It's not? Ah! So is it biblical? In other words, is that in the Bible? Yes, but would that be correct doctrine for this dispensation? No. Do you see my point? You see, we have to rightly divide God's Word. There is so much to learn about God's Word in the Christian life. No one individual knows everything there is to know. That's why we must have a teachable spirit. To me, Christ is such the ultimate example of this. Look in your handout at a couple of verses there at the bottom of your handout. Notice it says, this is right after Jesus was 12 years old. Remember, he was in the temple confounding the doctors and lawyers. Look at what it says right after that, Luke 2:52. And Jesus increased, he grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Isn't that an amazing verse? You see, Jesus was God in the flesh, but he voluntarily emptied himself of all the divine privileges and became a man. As a man, he had to grow. As a man, he had to learn. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature. Jesus Christ, what an example of a teachable spirit. Look at the next verse. This one always amazes me. Hebrews 5:8 in your handout. Look at this verse. Though he were a son, y'all see that? Though he were a son, yet, what's that next word? Learned. Isn't that amazing, Rob? Yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. What a teachable spirit our Savior had. Wow. You know, the key to growing and changing in 2013, you got to have a teachable spirit. You know, you just got to want to learn. You got to want to grow. And you know what? Here's the thing. Nobody knows all spiritual truth. Nobody knows everything, which brings me to my second point. Look at the next thing. We need to have a teachable spirit, number two, because others know truth that I do not know yet. Others know truth that I do not know yet. Apollos was instructed in God's word and in the way of the Lord, listen, to a certain point. Now look, what he knew, man, he knew well. What he knew well. But there was a problem. The end of verse 25. There's a problem. Look at the end of verse 25. Look at it again. It says that he knew only the baptism of John. The word only implies that Apollos had a limited knowledge. That there were areas of divine truth that he had not discovered, he had not learned yet. So, enter the picture, Aquila and Priscilla. Don't you love that? Isn't that a great name for a married couple? Aquila and Priscilla. I love that. Rhymes and everything, you know? Aquila and Priscilla. This is a married couple, and they hear him speak in the synagogue. It was very clear, man, this guy was a gifted orator. He was a spellbinding speaker. It was also clear the guy was real sincere in what he was saying. He was very, very sincere, very zealous. But they immediately picked up on the fact that Apollos was lacking understanding regarding the present dispensation of grace, the new organism God was forming called the church, the body of Christ, the completeness of the crosswork of Christ. It was clear he didn't get all that. In fact, if you look at the chart up here that I prepared for you, Apollos, he knew all about the kingdom that God had prophesied in the Old Testament to Israel. He knew that John the Baptist came and had declared it at hand and called Israel to repent because it was at hand. He may have even known somewhat about Christ and what, you know, Christ, that Christ was the Messiah. And he even knew this stuff on the right, that before the kingdom would come, there'd be 7 years of wrath and tribulation, and that Christ, the Messiah, would return to the earth. All that he learned back here. What he did not know yet was this parenthesis. See the yellow parentheses? That's where we're living today. This yellow parenthesis was revealed to the Apostle Paul beginning in Acts 9. That yellow parenthesis is what we call the what? We call that the church age. We're living in the church age. We're living in the time of grace. We're living in a time in which God is forming a brand new organism. He set Israel's kingdom program aside. He's forming a new organism called the church, the body of Christ. Apollos, he didn't know any of that, but Aquila and Priscilla did. Now, how would they know about all this in here? How would they know these things? Well, how many of y'all remember Acts 18 at the beginning? When Paul shows up at the city of Corinth, and you remember, he ended up working for somebody and living with them in their home. Who was it? Aquila and Priscilla. They had a year and a half of personal, firsthand teaching, mentoring, and tutoring from the Apostle Paul. How would you like to have Paul in your house for a year and a half? This godly couple, they knew truth that Apollos did not know. They had spiritual advantages that he had not had. I'm sure that Apollos had believed in God, and I'm sure that Apollos had studied this book for a much longer time than this couple. He had more spiritual miles on him than they did. It appears that Apollos was in full-time ministry. It appears that he had dedicated his life to fervently preaching God's truth. Yet other people knew truth that Apollos had not learned yet. How would Apollos respond when this couple comes up to him, takes him aside, and basically says, "Hey man, we appreciate your zeal, we appreciate your fervency, but man, what you're saying is biblical, but it's wrong doctrine for today. There's been more revelation that God's given through Paul. And what you're saying is biblical, but it's not accurate and up to date for today." Most people, especially of Apollos' stature, probably wouldn't take that too well. Sometimes we don't always take things like that real well, do we? When people tell us things that we don't want to hear, or they point out something that's not right, we don't want to hear it. Why? Because we don't have a teachable spirit. And so we stay locked into a certain growth point and we never go past it because we don't want to hear anything that goes against our grain. I've had women through the years that have said to me, "Pastor, will you talk to my husband? Because I think maybe he'd take it better from a man than a woman." And you know, that's sad. We're laughing, but it's really sad that there are men that are so insecure that they won't listen to anything if it comes from a woman. That's sad. That's really pitiful. That means we don't have a teachable spirit. There's pride, there's arrogance there. You know, every single one of us guys in this room, we have blind spots. And you know what? Our wives know them better than anybody else. And if we won't listen to them, we're fools. We're fools. I mean, the day my wife loses the liberty to be able to come up and say, "Hey, I'm noticing a blind spot," or this or that, and you, hey, man, that's a sad day in my life. Because you know what? That information is there to help us, not hurt us. And you know, sometimes we just don't have a teachable spirit, do we? Let me ask you something. Do you think, by the way, ladies, y'all can say amen, that's fine. I mean, how many of you guys that are married? How many of you, okay, no, I'm not done. How many of you guys that are married? A little tougher question coming than that. How many of you guys that are married, would agree your wife knows things you don't know? Okay. I just hope there's no sore rib cages out there. All right. Get your hand up. Yeah, you know, and vice versa. You know, listen, other people know truth that we don't know yet. We have got to have a teachable spirit to be able to receive that. It's so crucial. If you're going to grow in 2013, it's going to take a teachable spirit. Why? Number three, last point. Because God uses other people to teach me. You better have a teachable spirit because God uses other people to teach you. You know, have you ever noticed He'll use unlikely people to teach us? What do I mean? How many of y'all ever had a kid teach you something? Kids teach us some pretty important lessons, don't they? Yeah. When Aquila and Priscilla, when they heard Apollos speak in the synagogue, it says, look at verse 26, he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, look at this, they took him unto them, both of them. Wasn't just Aquila, it was him and her. They took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. In your handout, it says the word expound means to expose. They literally revealed truth to Apollos that he'd never been exposed to before. He knew the law. He knew the prophets. He knew John's baptism. They exposed him to truth from the Apostle Paul that he had never been exposed to. If you look at the chart up here, God's prophetic program, you look at this chart, he knew all about God's law. He knew all about the prophetic program for Israel and how God was going to bring a kingdom on earth for them. He knew all about John the Baptist and the repentance that he called for. He knew all about the prophetic program over here, how that one day God would fulfill the 70th week of Daniel and Christ would return to the earth and set up a kingdom on earth for Israel. He knew all that. What he did not know was the yellow parentheses because it had just been revealed through Paul, beginning in Acts 9. Aquila and Priscilla knew this information, and Apollos did not. So they expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. They exposed him to things he had never been exposed to before. Can you imagine, just for a moment, put yourself in the shoes of Apollos. Can you imagine how humbling this had to be for this guy? He just got done preaching in the synagogue. He just got done letting it rip. He's thinking, man, I tore it up, man. I preached my heart out. And I mean, he thinks I'm doing a dynamic and I'm doing a wonderful job for God. And then, the wind is taken right out of his sails. When instruction or rebuke comes from another person, it's not always pleasant. And Apollos could have had the attitude, who are you to teach me? Man, I've been preaching a long time. I've known God a lot longer than you. I'm older than you. I've known God longer than you. I know this book better than you. And it's at this point, I believe, at that juncture right there, that's where we're going to find out what kind of man Apollos really is. What we're going to discover about Apollos is, was he just a gifted orator that loved to speak in front of people? Was he just a guy who craved leadership and people looking to him? Or was he a man of godly character that really desired truth in his inner man? Well, we read on, didn't we? Verses 27 and 28, and we see that he went on to some of the greatest service that he'd ever done. By the way, he became a real good friend of Paul's. He became a co-worker and a friend of Paul. Apollos allowed God to teach him through the ministry of others. In your handout, Proverbs 27, 5 and 6 says, open rebuke is better than secret love. Faithful are the wounds of a what? A friend. But the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. If we are going to grow and change spiritually in 2013, it's going to take an Apollos-like spirit. We have to have a teachable spirit. There's a great temptation to get angry when we're rebuked. Or there's a great temptation to become defensive. There's a temptation to cut ourselves off from the one who had the courage to speak the truth to us. There's a tendency to withdraw into denial or self-pity. All of those reactions are guaranteed to cut off growth, cut off maturation, which is the very thing that we need the most. We have to realize that light is not our enemy. When a person cares enough about us to shine some light on a blind spot in our lives, we really ought to rejoice in that, shouldn't we? Now, I got to tell you, truth is sometimes painful. You know the old expression, the truth hurts? And it does. And I got to tell you this, sometimes the truth is scary. It really is. And, I've had people tell me, when you've been in one place for almost 25 years, there's enough history there for people to point out the past. And I've had people say to me, you taught this, but that's not what you taught 15 years ago. And I've had people tell me that. And you know what my answer for that is? You're right. You're exactly right. I listen sometimes. I've heard tapes of me preaching in 1994, and I just want to stop my ears and say, I can't believe I said that. Yeah, of course I've changed in areas. Of course, look, if I'm preaching the exact same things that I preached in 1994, you know what? You ought to be worried about me. Because that means I hadn't grown a lick in 25 years. I mean, if I'm preaching, if I'm exactly where I was 20, 23 or whatever, 18 years ago, there's a problem there. Man, you ought to be growing. And yeah, there's things where I just have to say, yeah, you know, I did teach that and I regret it. I taught it to the best of my knowledge at the time, just like Apollos. I wasn't trying to deceive anybody. I wasn't trying to trick anybody. I wasn't trying to teach false doctrine. I was teaching it the way I thought was right, just like Apollos was. But I had to have a teachable spirit to say, you know what? Some of the sacred cows that we hold to aren't always biblical, are they? They're not always right. And I have to have enough teachable spirit to say, yeah, you know what? That doesn't match up with the Bible. Yeah, when you cross-reference Scripture with Scripture, that doesn't hold water. Yeah, that isn't right. And so you're constantly learning and you're growing. In your handout, it says, truth is always your friend. Yeah, it can be intimidating, but it's always your friend. John 8:32 up on the screen. Look at it with me. And ye shall know the truth, say it with me, and the truth shall make you free. Truth is liberating. Can I get an amen? Amen. It's liberating. Truth will set you free. Now, lies may make you feel good temporarily, but they are deceptive. Lies are misleading. Lies cause us to make the same mistakes over and over and over and over and over again. Brother Shannon Dan is starting up the Freedom Found. Thought about that with that verse. Freedom Found. A ministry for people struggling with addictions. And I told the early crowd, I said, it's not just people necessarily with drug problems or alcohol. And we've all got problems, don't we? That we need victory over. And we've got a son, or you've got people that come to your class that their son or daughter is addicted to drugs and alcohol, and they want the information so they can pass it on to them. They're starting up brand new, starting over tomorrow night, 6:30. You ought to come. Freedom Found, 6:30. They meet in the gym tomorrow night. Truth sets you free. And I know your focus, Shannon, is giving people good, solid, biblical truth, rightly divided truth, that they can sink some roots into and help overcome the things that we struggle with. And I encourage you to go to that. It starts tomorrow night again. They're starting over the 13 key lessons. Lies may make you feel good temporarily, but they keep us locked into the same destructive habits. Lies keep us locked in to the same destructive behavior and habits that are not helping us. For example, if I'm back here in the hallway and I'm fixing to come in here about 10:55 to church, and I'm fixing to come up on the platform, and if you meet me back in the hallway and I've just had a cinnamon roll with white icing all over it, and you meet me back in the hallway and I've got white icing, I've got an icing beard on my face, and I've got icing on my nose, you know, and if you see me back in the hall, and by the way, I've been known to do that, all right, and then go make hospital visits that way. But anyway, that's a whole nother story. But if you see me back in the hallway and you see me that way, and you say to me, Pastor, you look so nice today, you've never looked better. I love that tie, I love that suit. Man, you look so sharp, you look awesome. You know what? That makes me feel good, but only temporarily. Amen? It's not helping me. In fact, it's hurting me. It makes me feel good at the time, but it's really, in reality, hurting me because I'm going to walk through the door, come up here, and make a fool out of myself in front of hundreds of people. So that's not helping me by somebody saying that. You see, instruction, it says in your handout there, instruction is our lifeline. When you quit learning, you quit what? You quit growing. Living things, what did I say at the beginning of the message? Look up here. Living things what? Grow. They grow and change. Let's learn and let's grow in 2013. So many opportunities for you to learn and grow here at Crossroads. Let's make 2013 a year of great spiritual growth to where we can't even hardly recognize ourselves this time next year because God's changed us.